This episode of She Explores is brought to you by Deuter. They've been making technical hiking, backpacking, snow sport, bike, and travel packs, German engineered since 1898 for comfort, fit, and ventilation. And for the last 12 years, Deuter has been making women-specific slimline packs with women's bodies in mind. Stay tuned for later in the episode when I talk with a member of the Deuter team about how they work with women to provide a better fit. Stay equipped for a life of adventure with a durable, comfortably crafted Deuter pack. Find your perfect fit at Deuter.com. That's Deuter.com. I'm Gail Straub, and you're listening to She Explores.
We were only 20 years old, and both really untried by life, you might say.
Yeah.
We were just like... two innocents turned loose. But we had such fun. Everything was fun.
That idea of the ordinary adventure, you know, like that's what really drew me to this story, was that it was just an ordinary adventure. She didn't have to go to the library and get a book about how to go bike touring. I mean, if such a thing existed, I don't know. You just went, you know. She didn't have special gear. She just had a suitcase. She didn't have spandex. Although I did ask her about her sport clothes.
This is Taryn Eiten, the blogger behind Happiest Outdoors, and her grandmother, Carol Eiten. For Taryn, the story starts 10 years ago. For Carol, it started almost 75 years ago.
Probably about... I'm going to say about 10 years ago, I was with some friends. We were looking for something to do for the day, and we decided to go for a bike ride. And I said to them, oh, you know, why don't we bike out to the suburbs and visit my grandma? I was going to visit her anyway. Do you want to come? And so my husband and I and two friends biked, I don't know, probably about an hour to my grandma's house. And she made us lunch. She was still living in her house then, not in a condo. And she made us lunch and, you know, was expressing surprise that we had biked all the way to her house from the city. And, you know, was it dangerous? Were we scared? That kind of thing. And then she said, oh, you know, when I was a girl, I went on a bike trip once. And I said, what? Like, what kind of bike trip? And she said, oh, well, you know, we went on holiday and we rode our bikes, you know, down to the ferry terminal and then on Vancouver Island, you know, for a few days. And I was like, what? So after she told us that story about 10 years ago, I'd kind of revisited with her a couple times since. And then when she moved and was digging out all of her photo albums, she found the photos and we looked through them.
Oh, I think they're wonderful. They're the best thing there is to evoke memories that you otherwise wouldn't have. You may remember the skeletal details, but you wouldn't remember all the little things that you see by looking at a picture.
Have you ever sat with your grandmother and leafed through photos, gotten to hear the stories from her as she remembers them? Marveled that the woman sitting next to you is also the woman leaning against a fence post, squinting at the camera, smiling, another 70 years rolled out in front of her. Back in 1944, Taryn's grandma Carol took a 10-day bike touring trip in Vancouver with her best friend, a girl named Billy. The photos tell a story of two young women in long shorts and saddle shoes, in bathing suits that look a whole lot like dresses, their arms often wrapped around each other's shoulders, pushing single-speed bikes up hills with smiles on their faces. Taryn showed me these photos a couple of months ago, along with a message. Taryn wrote to me, "My grandmother is 93 now. During World War II, she was a teenager. Instead of going to university, she went to work at a factory making airplanes. One summer, she got a few days off, so she and a female friend did a completely self-supported bike tour from their home in Vancouver, British Columbia, over to Vancouver Island and back. Except that they didn't call it a bike tour. She says they wanted to go on a vacation, but they didn't have a car and gas was too expensive, so they took bikes. They stayed with host families and toted all the things they would need, a change of clothes and some sandwiches, in suitcases tied to their rear racks with string. Their bikes were single speed, so they walked up all the hills. There may have been boyfriends or dads or brothers who thought that the two women shouldn't embark on such a journey alone and on bikes, but that's not how Grandma remembers it.
What do you think about the trip that she took?
It just sounds like such a great adventure to have at that age. You know, she was, I think, 20, 21 years old. And she just, they just kind of took off and had this adventure. And it to me, finding out about it from her when she was, I guess, in her 80s, it seemed so out of character for her as the woman that I knew, the woman who was, you know, a caretaker of grandchildren and family members and a cook and, you know, and a crossword puzzle doer. I didn't think of her as somebody who had a big bike adventure like that. So it made me see her in a different light and realize that there's a lot more to people than the way that we interact with them.
In last week's episode, we heard from Cheryl Strayed and Anna Bronis as they talked about wisdom, what we pass on to each other, in conversation and otherwise. In certain ways, this episode is about that too, and specifically the women who came before us, how what we assume isn't always what was, and the value of taking the time to ask. Taryn recorded a conversation with her grandma, Carol, to learn more about her bike tour more than 70 years ago.
So Grandma and I are sitting in her dining room, and we're having some coffee after dinner and some chocolate and cherries. So I guess to start with, Grandma, how would you introduce yourself to a stranger? What would you want somebody to know about you?
That is a poser. Well, you just have to look at me to see that I'm getting pretty ancient.
How old are you?
I'm 93.
And are you okay with everybody knowing that?
Oh, quite all right. I have no problem with that at all. I think I feel I've had a very ordinary life, but it's been good, with lots of highlights. And I can just generally say that I love people, I love children, all the things that people of our generation used to like, old movies, you know, just ordinary things in life.
Carol was born in Croatia and immigrated to the Vancouver area when she was just 3 and a half. Her childhood sounded pretty idyllic, living in rural British Columbia, going to school and farming.
What did I do? I was going to do everything, but couldn't do it all at once.
When she graduated high school, she planned to go on to university. But World War II changed plans for a lot of people, including Carol. Women were expected to work in the war effort, so Carol went to work.
My girlfriend and I went to look for jobs. And because it was wartime, you had to go pretty well where they needed you, and that was in a plant that built something for the war effort. And in this case, it was B-29 bombers that were built in a suburb of Vancouver. And so I went to work there. I wasn't happy, but it turned out to be a good move. And I was there till the end of the war.
And how did you feel about working there?
Well, I didn't like the work itself. I don't think I was very adaptive to riveting and all that stuff. I did a little better in the fitting part, which is more like geometric work. But so I was trying to get into the office because I did have some typing shorthand training in my study periods in high school. I thought, well, I'm going to go on somewhere and take all my notes and everything, you know. But of course, that didn't come up too quickly, but it eventually did, and I got a job in the office, which I liked a lot better because that's what I was expecting to do.
And when you were working, it was for Boeing, right? You were working
Boeing
for Boeing
aircraft. Yeah.
When you were working for Boeing, making bombers, what was it like to be a woman working building airplanes?
Well, I can't remember being aware that it was so different. But first of all, because it was predominantly women, I think they treated us quite well. I don't know if that was the reason why, but there were men there too, of course. But a lot of them were older men or men largely who didn't get into the military for one reason or another. But overall, it was really a great experience. It really was. And I met some wonderful people who are my friends to this very day.
She really talks about how the wartime was just in so many ways so magical for her and her friends and her generation, that there was so much freedom and so much sort of like enthusiasm in the air for everything. And that they were so shielded by propaganda from the realities of the war that everything just seemed so exciting.
And she didn't say as much about it, like, particularly, but, like, kind of reading between the lines, it's that it was an exciting time to be a woman, too, right?
Yeah, and I think it's interesting, you know, for me approaching it from, you know, the sort of contemporary intersectional feminist lens and trying to push that onto Grandma. And Grandma's just like, oh, yeah, we weren't good at making airplanes, so we stopped after we didn't have to anymore. You know, like, you know, she just, like, doesn't see it as like a hugely empowering leap forward for women. She just sees it as like, oh, we helped because we needed to.
Taryn and Carol are Canadian, and I'm from the U.S., so I apologize for any bias that I'm bringing to the story. But I remember reading my history textbook in high school and cheering for the women during World War II. The independence some found, the ability to work in order to support the war effort. It's shown in stark contrast to after the war. The 1950s seemed to be all about marriage and kids and the best household cleaning products. Of course, there are more sides to this story, depending on race and class. A page in a textbook is two-dimensional. It's worth asking for yourself while we can.
You know, if you have older women in your life, you know, even grandmothers, aunts, or, you know, maybe your mother who, you know, was part of student activism, maybe, or something like that. Like, there are all these stories that older women don't necessarily know to share that we want to hear until we ask.
Right now in our story, it's 1944 and Carol is making friends at the factory. One friend in particular stood out.
So I wanted to ask you a little bit about Billy. So you met Billy at your job.
I met Billy at Boeing's.
How did you meet?
I think we met in one of these lunch hour things. We happened to be, she and Anne, remember Anne Code?
Mm-hmm.
They were in the same shop. In the airplane plant, it's all shops, depending on what you're doing. Well, the section that I was on was the center wing, and she was in the one, the step just before that. But I didn't get to know her on the job. There was just no time for any niceties during work hours or anything. You know, it was strictly business. So we met at lunchtime, and we just clicked it off.
What was it about Billy that you and her just clicked?
I don't know, because she was like the city mouse and I was the country mouse. You know, she was raised in Vancouver, and when I met her, they were living in Kits and right near the beach, you know. But I think it was basically that we had the same kind of home values and the same kind of values about the world, I think. I'm not sure. And we both loved dancing. I think that was...
You went to a lot of dances?
We did.
And why did you go to so many dances? Was it the dancing or was it anything else?
Well, of course you dance with boys.
Carol and Billy are friends to this day, despite distance.
And why do you think your friendship has endured so long?
I don't know. I just can't. I can't just describe it. It just kept going as if it had a life of its own, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably one of your longest friendships.
It is. It really is.
We'll hear more about their friendship and their bike trip after this.
This episode of She Explores is brought to you by Escape Camper Vans, an award-winning camper van rental company. One of the biggest undertakings in planning your road trip is making sure you have the right vehicle and the right gear for your adventures. Fortunately, Escape Camper Vans has you covered from the moment you take off on your journey. Recently, we had the opportunity to hear from Brittany Freeman, who spent a week exploring the Colorado Rockies in an Escape Camper Van and was impressed with how at home she felt right away.
It's got blackout curtains for nighttime that you can shut. Comes with all of your bedding and things. There's a lot of storage space inside. Actually, both seats to the bed actually have storage, so it's a great place to put our packs. Has a little pump sink with a 5-gallon water tank that they teach you how to fill and empty. It comes with a 2-burner camp stove, comes with the propane. They supply you with pots and pans and silverware and cups. I mean, we literally didn't have to bring any type of kitchen utensils. We just ran to the grocery store and it was very, very nice.
Right now, you can get 20% off your next campervan road trip by using promo code SHEEXPLORES20 at checkout. Visit www.escapecampervans.com/SHEEXPLORES. That's 20% off at escapecampervans.com/SHEEXPLORES to learn more.
This bike trip we took, first of all, these trips were part of the Canadian Hostel Association.
We're back. The Canadian Hostel Association was founded as the Canadian Youth Hostel Association in 1933. It's how Carol and Billy were able to bike tour for 10 days without camping. They just strapped suitcases to their bikes and went on their way.
They're mostly older people, and they open their homes to young people, but they have to spend their time outside, like riding or whatever. Mostly it was bicycling. And you had to arrive at their premise, at their home, before 4 in the afternoon. And they hoped that between 8 and 9 you'd be on the road again. It was called the open road whatever. And there was even a song, something.
Do you remember the song?
I just remember a wee bit of it. I am as free as the breeze, and I can roam as I please, and open road, open sky. That's about all I can remember.
I'm going to have to look that up, see if we can find it.
Yeah.
I found this song. It's called Open Road, Open Sky, and it was sung by John Charles Thomas. I can't play it here because I don't know enough about fair use laws, but I'm linking it in the show notes so you can listen as you look back at black and white photos of Carol and Billy on our episode landing page.
Who came up with the idea? Billy or you?
I don't know who put us onto that. I suspect that maybe Billy and her family did, because they were real outdoor people. And they were living in town, and they probably experienced more things. We used bicycles only as a means of transportation, when we lived where we lived.
They weren't for fun?
Not really. Well, sure, kids used to take bike rides, but they would just go down, they'd go down a mile to visit my aunt or something, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And why with Billy? Why not with another friend or a boyfriend?
Well, you'd never travel with a boy in 1944.
Why not?
Oh, it was absolutely taboo.
If you weren't married?
If you weren't married.
What about if it was a group of people?
That may be okay. I don't know. I was never in that position where I make the decision. But we still had a lot of Victorian ideas, Although I think my parents, for European parents, I think they were fairly broad-minded. They were.
Yeah.
But, I think we were all such good kids.
Looking back, Carol sees her and her friends and her brother as being well-behaved, but there were different expectations for boys and girls.
So how was it different to be a girl?
Well, in our society then, it was okay for a boy to get into a scrap, but if a girl got into a scrap, she was pegged, I think, as being a girl who's not a proper girl.
What was a proper girl?
Oh, my. A proper girl always had nice manners and wasn't cranky and was kind to people.
That doesn't sound too bad. But what could boys do that girls couldn't besides fight?
Well, they fought and nobody thought anything of it. They thought it was, my son was in a fight today. As if it's, gee, my son's a real boy.
Yeah. I think I've only met Billy in person maybe one or two times because she doesn't live close. So most of my impression of Billy is definitely from the way my grandma sees her and the way my grandma talks about her. And she seems almost like a caricature of a woman, the way that grandma talks about her, that she was so vivacious, was such a flirt. That comes out a lot, that Billy loved to flirt and loved to date and go to dances, and that's what they did a lot together for fun. They didn't really want boyfriends so much as they wanted to dance with guys because they just loved dancing. But yeah, like all of her talk about Billy makes Billy sound like a really fun friend, like that they always were laughing and having adventures. So do you think that you and Billy going on a bike trip, was that not, would the proper girls go on bike trips?
I never thought of it for one moment. I really didn't, and nor did Billy.
No?
That it wasn't proper. And my parents didn't, they didn't even worry that much that I was going to get hit by a car or anything, which that was the big worry in those days, that you're going to get, you know.
Well, it still is for cyclists.
Well, even more so now.
Yeah.
But they were different times.
Mm-hmm.
And different times mean stories like this came out of their 10-day trip.
And we headed north on the island, and we took the Malahat Highway, which apparently was not recommended for bicycles because it's so steep. And sure enough, it turned out to be very steep, and Billy had a flat tire. So there we were in the middle of nowhere with a flat tire and a mountainous climb when an army truck full of young trainees came by, and they stopped, and they said, "What's your problem?" They said, "Well, we've got a flat tire, and, you know, we're trying to..." He said, "Look," he said, "it's against orders, but these are unusual circumstances. We'll give you a lift, and we'll drop you off at the first gas station where they see if they can fix your tire," which is exactly what happened. And we got the tire fixed, and we made our way up to the next stop, which was Shawnigan Lake, a beautiful lake well off the highway, where this lovely older couple were the hosts, and they wanted us to stay the extra day, so we did. And we rode across the lake, and I don't even swim. You know, in those days, nobody said, you know, you should wear a life jacket. But overall, it was just a very lovely stop, and we were kind of sorry to leave them, but we knew that you'd have to keep going to keep the open road policy going.
And did anybody ever say, you know, like, girls hitchhiking alone, it's a bad idea?
No, I can't say that. I can't just remember that. If I did, if it was said, it didn't make much of an impact.
We'll hear more from Taryn and Carol after this. This episode of She Explores is brought to you by Deuter. They've been making technical outdoor packs since 1898 and women-specific slimline packs since 2006. Today, Deuter's product development team for the women-specific line consists of female designers and top athletes from all disciplines and sports. Deuter's SL packs are built to provide a better fit for women's bodies than ordinary packs might, with narrower shoulder straps to avoid chafing and a more conical hip belt to create space for women's hip bones. I talked with Becky Marceliano of the Deuter team about the unique fit of their women's specific line.
We get really positive feedback all the time. You know, a lot of women, they've only ever used a unisex pack or the, you know, hand-me-down from their brother or their boyfriend, and then they try ours for the first time, and it's really this light bulb of, like, backpacking doesn't have to hurt. You know, I don't have to have bruises on my hips and worried about scrapes and all these things. It just tends to fit way better than packs that they've had in the past. So we're always stoked to hear those types of stories.
Stay equipped for a life of adventure with a durable, comfortably crafted Deuter pack. Find your perfect fit at deuter.com. That's deuter.com. We're back. Taryn, a woman who loves to be prepared, asked her grandmother about the kind of gear they brought with them.
Well, first of all, the bikes were very ordinary bikes. You know, there was no mechanical advantage anywhere.
No gears.
No gears. All the bikes that we ever owned were always foot brakes, not hand brakes. And as far as other things are concerned, it was slacks and shorts.
And was it okay to wear slacks and shorts all the time?
Oh, yes. Yeah, especially once the war started, a lot of things changed.
And why do you think that was?
Well, it was probably just to simplify life, I guess. And maybe, I don't really know, unless they thought that they got to keep the home crowd happy so that they'll work diligently. Because the war effort was really a big thing. It was. So, oh yeah, people wore shorts and bathing suits and that, but the only thing is there's a lot more fabric in them those days.
You mean they covered more?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, what we wore as bathing suits would now be considered shorts.
Right.
You know, well, not quite, but something. Not,
yeah.
Like, yeah.
And what about, I know you wore, how long would the shorts be you would wear for biking?
Oh, quite long. Quite long. Yeah. They're fairly long.
And did you just bring regular clothes you had already with you? Did you buy anything special for the trip?
I think we might have bought a few sport things, you know, maybe.
Like what kind of sport things?
Like some kind of shirts, maybe.
What would be a sport shirt in 1944? What would make it a sport shirt?
It would be a cotton shirt with long sleeves and the normal collar, like almost like a man's collar, but a wee bit bigger,
mm-hmm.
and buttons.
And why was that a sport shirt?
Well, it wasn't called a sport shirt as such. I just meant that it's something sporty, like not too dressy.
Right, so not something you'd wear to a dressier occasion.
No, no. And then, of course, we didn't have easy wash and wear stuff in those days, so you'd try to get something that doesn't wrinkle too much. And otherwise, I don't remember buying a whole bunch of new stuff for the trip, really. Just, you know, more or less what you had.
And you packed it in a suitcase, you said?
Yeah, in a suitcase.
And then you attached the suitcase to your bike?
Yeah, it was with a belt, like a man's belt.
Yeah.
To the carrier. And you had to do it just right.
We do kind of get lost in the weeds of gear sometimes, of like, you know, thinking about whether your shirt like wicks your sweat in the right way or whatever. Like it's fun to think of her just wearing her cotton shirt and longer shorts and just, you know, getting after it.
Yeah. And like whatever shoes she had and, you know, like that was it.
Taryn shared this thought with her grandmother too.
So I think that it's interesting that you did with the gear that you have that I think you've called it primitive.
Yeah. Well, compared to what came. Yeah.
But you guys, there wasn't any other option at the time.
I don't think so.
And did you feel like you were suffering?
No.
Exactly.
No. I used to ride that same bike for the mile to my aunt's house on gravel road with big rocks on it and carry a dozen eggs home.
How were the eggs?
Pretty good.
There's also that bit of the younger grandmother that you'll never, you know, you'll never really be able to know because she's grown up and so many years have passed. And, you know, there's always, we're all like nesting dolls. So there's like all this accumulation, but you just never know what she was really, really, really like back then when she was 20, 21, hanging out with Billy.
Yeah. I mean, if I can imagine what she was like at that age, I imagine that she laughed a lot. Her face really lights up when she smiles and laughs. She laughs easily. And I think that I just feel like giggling with her friends was probably a lot of how they spent their time. And that's a little bit of what she talked about, I think, when we were talking about her bike trip, that she just remembers laughing all the time and singing to pass the time.
Mm. Oh, so much joy.
Yeah. So what would you say were the challenges that you encountered on your bike trip?
Really?
No,
something must have been challenging.
I don't know. We'd be like a pair that lost their minds singing this song,
the On the Road song?
Yeah, but yeah, singing the song they have.
So you sang the song a lot?
Yeah, top of our voices.
Was there anybody around to hear?
Sometimes.
Did you and Billy get along all the time?
We did. We
really?
Never, ever had a fight. Never.
On that trip or ever?
Ever. Nothing ever that was of any consequence. Sure, we had differences, but no, it's just a strange... I mean, we were only 20, and now we're 93.
Yeah. And what about the weather? Was that a challenge?
You know, I don't we hardly had rain. For those whole, you know, those 10 days, we hardly had rain. It was not only that, I think, at that age, you're not afraid of anything, you know?
Is there anything that surprised you about, you know, when you did sit down and she told you about the trip? Was there anything that surprised you about that conversation?
I was really surprised that she kept insisting that it was only fun and that it was only safe. I really expected to hear something different about that. Even if it was sort of like couched in the language of, oh, you know, like, it was, you know, we felt scared, but then it was fine, or, you know what I mean, that kind of thing, or we didn't feel scared because we were naive. She just seems to remember it in this really positive lens.
Carol doesn't look back on her trip as being unusual. Riding with Billy wasn't dangerous, and it wasn't frowned upon. For Carol, it was an ordinary adventure.
How did you feel when you were finished your trip?
Oh, exhilarated.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you feel accomplished?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah?
I think so. Not because we did something unusual. I never really thought of it that way. It's just that we had so much fun.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the reason that trip was so successful is because it was that particular time of the war?
I think the times had a lot to do with it. Even though the war was awful, and, you know, we were old enough, you know, to read newspapers and stuff, you know. But somehow or other, you were able to push it aside long enough to kind of enjoy what you're doing.
So you've said a lot of times when I've been talking to you about this trip that you thought it was very ordinary.
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Well, because in those days, everybody who rode bikes who couldn't afford a car, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what did we really do? We rode through some beautiful countryside. In some cases, put a lot of energy into it because it was, you know, we didn't have highways that were scaled for ease of travel. They were made where it was easiest to put a highway in those mm-hmm. days. So from that point of view, to me, it just seems like it was kind of an ordinary thing to do.
That was the only bike tour that Carol and Billy went on. After the war, Carol met Taryn's grandfather while hitchhiking, incidentally, and they got married and raised children.
She's always been a role model for me and somebody that I've looked up to, and that her sort of values in life of quiet perseverance is something to aspire to. And how much she cares for others over herself, I think that that's also a really great, great quality and that a lot of people, including myself, could learn from.
Carol's role was that of caretaker, and it's a role she valued. And while she respects the decisions of her granddaughters to travel and hike and backpack, she worries for their safety. Taryn can't help but wonder whether Carol would have liked to have gone on another bike tour or a similar trip.
Do you think, like, would you have ever taken a trip like that again? Like, do you feel like that was something that you would have done again in your life if you'd had the chance?
Well, looking back at it now, the age I am, where... yeah, maybe, yeah, I think I probably would, yeah.
Do you look at her life and how she lived it after, you know, that time period and kind of wish that she took more adventures like that and chances?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that that her role in, you know, in life and with her family is obviously a really important one. And I think that she gave so much of herself to her children and her grandchildren. But I think that for women especially, it's important to remember that there is so much more to us as people and what we can accomplish besides being caretakers and being mothers. And I wish that she had been able to explore more of that side of herself. And which is maybe just me projecting, right? Like, because she seems totally happy.
What are some lessons from this and outside of this that you've learned from your grandmother?
Well, I think, like I said earlier, like, knowing that there's so much more to people when you get the time to chat with them, and that the way that you think you know them might not be the way that you know them, right? Like, I thought that I knew who my grandmother was and what she valued, and then I found out that she had taken this adventurous trip, and that she was much physically stronger. She's a small woman. She's probably under 5 feet tall now. So the idea of her with a laden bicycle going up hills was just like, what? And I think the other thing that my grandma has also really taught me in life is the importance of family. Family is really important to me, and to my husband as well. And that's something that we really share. And so that's been an important value in my life.
Do you still feel the same way about the kind of lesson that you can impart from her taking this trip of not needing to overplan for an adventure like that, that doesn't have to be seen as like incredibly challenging or epic? Like, it can just be like leaving from your house with your friend.
Yeah, I think like that idea is still so attractive to me and something that I really struggle with in my life. Like, I'm a planner, you know, like I want to train for an adventure. I want to make sure that I can do it. Like, the idea that I might hitchhike up the big hill, you know, like my grandmother did, it's just like, oh no, that's not possible. I need to train and I can't even try this until I'm ready. And they wanted to go, so they went. And I think that's amazing. And we don't do enough of that. We think that we're not fit enough or not good enough or too slow, or that the places that we go are not as cool, or that, you know, I just went to the lake, I didn't scramble away to the peak that was above the lake. And I definitely feel that a lot of the times too, right? That my adventures are not as hardcore as somebody else's. But I realize that when I'm old, like grandma, that's not what I'm going to remember. I'm not going to remember that I regretted not going to scramble up the peak. I'm going to remember that I sat by the lake with my friends and, you know, ate cheese and salami and told silly jokes. I remember smiling all day.
And on that note, I want to leave you with an anecdote from Carol and Billy's almost 75-year friendship. They still talk on the phone once a week.
She calls me at least once a week. She says, don't call me. I've got a terrific plan.
Her phone plan?
A telephone plan. Whereas, you know, with us, we pay by the minute if it's long distance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she without fail, she calls me once a week. And, you know, she always says, you know, you ask her, how are you doing, Billy? I said, fine. I said, Billy, you're always so fine. You're always feeling fine. I said, what an asset. She said, yeah, well, why not?
I love that. Why not be fine? If your grandmother is still with us, I hope this episode prompts a visit, or for you to pick up the phone or to send her a handwritten letter. I'm relatively young to be collecting regrets myself, but I don't think I'll ever forgive myself for not doing that enough.
I wish I could talk to my grandmothers. I wish I'd been... You're really lucky.
Yeah, I do recognize that it's such a privilege to have her in my life.
Learn more about Taryn and Carol via the episode landing page on she-explorers.com/podcast. You can see photos from Carol's bike trip, as well as photos of Taryn going on her own adventures today. Thank you to both Taryn and Carol for their willingness to share this story on the show. Follow along with Taryn at happiestoutdoors.ca. That's happiestoutdoors.ca. It's an incredible blog, especially for those looking for trip and outdoor activities in the Vancouver area. You can find her on social media at Happiest Outdoors. Thank you to our sponsors, Escape Camper Vans and Deuter. You can get 20% off a camper van rental by heading to escapecampervans.com/SheExplores. That's She Explores in no space. And you can use the code SheExplores20 at checkout. That's basically 20% off a road trip. If you enjoy She Explores, you'll probably enjoy our sister podcast, Women on the Road. This week's episode features a woman who is interviewing cancer survivors all around the country. Find it on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you like this episode, please take a minute to review it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to help show your support. It'll help other people find us. And another great way to do that is to share it on your Instagram stories or on Twitter. And make sure to tag us so we'll see it. It always makes my day. Keep up with us in our She Explores podcast Facebook group. There we ask each other for advice, share our own stories, and just generally get to connect with other listeners. And it's been really a gift for me because I tend to get a bit overwhelmed by email, and it's such a great way to stay in touch with everyone. Music is by Lee Rosevere, Josh Woodward, and Jason Shaw via the Free Music Archive. Music is also by the Helio Sequence. Until next week, have fun out there.